morning, I was noticing the signs along the way, partially because I'm thinking about this message. But I was thinking about the number of signs we see in our daily life. You think about all the signs that are out there and the purpose of those signs to give us direction, to warn us, to do whatever. But last 2 months, we have been on Olive Avenue, going back and forth to Chapin area, all during the time we were dealing with my dad's sale of the house and stuff out there. We were dealing with warning signs. And, you know, they carved off Olive, took the bottom layer of asphalt off, and they've been laying down new asphalt. And you know, we had sign markings. Actually, this is the pictures of them out there. You know, the no pavement markings. In fact, there's no yellow lines, no white lines on the pavement. There is a sign up there that says shoulder drop off. So if you get over too far, you're gonna be in trouble. And that bump that was right there, that was a bump. You know how sometimes they say bump and it's kind of like, what was that? Well, this was a bump. I hit it a couple times. You know what? I hit it hard. You want to slow down for that bump. It's not there anymore. But it was a warning. It was a warning to say, don't go there, okay? And then as you got closer and closer to the machine that was actually doing the work, laying down this asphalt, then the signs increased. There were more and more signs, and when you got right up to the guy, there was a flashing red sign that said stop or slow down, one of the two. And then you couldn't go around this guy without a pilot car running in front of you. You know how slow pilot cars go. Just slowed you way, way down. Why? Because there's danger ahead. If there was a way for me to say to you, there is danger ahead, that you need to slow down, you need to listen, you need to be thinking about what's going on around you. This morning I would say to you, that's what's going on. We are talking in Matthew, the... Come on, iPad. There we go. We're talking out of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let me come back to this a minute here. And we're talking about warning signs today, Matthew 24 and 25. And as we go through this particular passage of Scripture, I want you to understand a couple things. First of all, that this particular passage of Scripture is primarily written to Jewish Christians. So understand that. Understand up front that this is written to Jewish Christians. And if you take the book of Matthew and you take the beginning of Matthew, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount we talked about long time ago, okay? And then you take a look at this one, which is often called the Olivet Discourse, which is a sermon on the Mount of Olives, and you put them together. The first one talks about the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven going to be like? And warning people that in order to get into it, you need to repent and you need to turn to Jesus to be the savior of your souls. And he's talking to Jewish people. So he's talking to them, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, this is what you have to do. Now, the kingdom of heaven to a Jewish person was not heaven. It was a time when there was going to be a reign of Jesus on this earth for 1,000 years. And so when these men, these people were thinking about this, they understood that Jesus was going to be king, and that the nation of Israel was going to be the center of all the world, and all the world was going to come to Jesus and to Jerusalem. That's what was going to happen. That's what they believed. That's what they understood. And that's what the Old Testament taught. Now you come to the end of this time when Jesus is actually on this earth. And after this chapter, we move into the Passion of the Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus. And ultimately, the nation in the last two chapters has rejected Jesus. They said, we don't want you. And so he comes back to them and he says, this is what it's going to be like in the kingdom. And this is what it's going to be like right before Jesus comes back a second time. Now, in order for you to understand this, I want to see the first particular verses of this particular chapter. And it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, so he's leaving the temple, and his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. They're looking, look at that building there. Look at how beautiful that is. You know, it's kind of like us walking into Washington, D.C. or going to the Smithsonian Institute. You walk around and you say, man, look at that thing and look at that. That is phenomenal. That's what they were doing. They were walking around and saying how beautiful this place is. They are astounded by this temple. And Jesus responds, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. You see a little bit of a contrast going on here? Jesus looks at it and says, no big deal. The disciples are looking at it and saying, wow, this is fantastic. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. It's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to be destroyed. And then he goes on. And it says that later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. So they're walking out of Jerusalem, down through the Kidron Valley, and then up a mountainside, kind of a big hill, okay? Up to the top of this big hill, and up there is an olive orchard, can I say that? I guess that's what you would call it. And he sits down there. It's a place where they had gone before many times to pray, to talk to his disciples. And he sits down there, and his disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? So we know from the book of Mark that this private conversation is between John and James and Andrew and Peter. So those four disciples go to Jesus privately, and they said this question. Tell us, when is this going to happen? What's going to happen? When is the destruction of the temple going to occur? And when are you coming back? Because he's already told them. He says, I'm going to die and I'm going to leave you. When are you coming back? What's going to signal the time when you come back? And when is the end of the age? When is the end of the world going to occur? Why are they thinking this? Because Jesus has already told them. He said the destruction of the temple is going to occur. And they're thinking about the Old Testament. So in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, this is what it says. I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses looted, and the women raped. Half the population will be taken into captivity, and the rest will be left among the ruins of the city. Now, if you knew that that was coming, wouldn't you want to know that was coming? It's kind of like a big bump. He says, I will gather all this nation. The nations are going to come against Jerusalem, and it's going to be gone. So now, I want to take you to a slide that helps you understand some prophetic things. This is kind of a timeline, if you would, of kind of how I understand things. And up here, let me get a pointer going here. Right here is kind of gives you an idea of where we're at today on this time. This is when Jesus died here. And then we have Acts 2 in the church age. And this is all right through here what Paul has talked about as a mystery or the mystery of the church. And what we're looking for right now is this time right here where the gathering of the church or the rapture is going to be occurring. And that rapture occurs prior to this time called the tribulation. So when Jesus is talking today, okay, all of the stuff he's talking about in Matthew 24 and 25 occur in this time period right in here prior to this millennial reign or 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth. And so it's this period right in here he's talking about. Right, so he talks about the 3.5 years right from here to here, and then he's going to talk and he's going to make a big push on this middle point right here, this middle section right here at 3.5 years. So the church, you and I, aren't going to be in here. We're not going through Matthew 24 and 25. It's not going to happen. Okay, there's a little bit at the beginning of it which I'm going to show you. We're gonna see some of it. Okay. But very little of this are we going to see. And so he's writing to Jewish Christians who are going to be in this time because they won't necessarily believe before it, but once they get into it, they're going to say, oh, this is something I need to wake up. I need to wake up to this. And so as we start to think of that, we see Jesus in the first part of this chapter give some general warning signs. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to Matthew 24. And we're going to be looking at verse 4 through 8 right now. And here, Jesus says to them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many and will hear of wars and threats of wars, and don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. And nations will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquake in many parts of the world. But this is only the first of the birth pangs, and more are to come. So let's just back up a minute, and let's go to the first part of this. Notice what Jesus says. These are general statements about what's going to happen as we get closer. Have you ever noticed as you come into a work zone, that as you're driving down the road, there's signs that are hitting you and that you can see them and they're there. But as you get closer and closer to the place where the work is actually happening, the signs get more and more, and they become bigger and they become more intense because they want to get your attention. Well, that's the kind of the same thing with what Jesus is saying here. He says, prior to the rapture of the church and prior to the tribulation at the beginning, you're going to see these things. Don't let anyone mislead you. There is going to be many people who try to deceive you into believing that it's already happened or that it's never going to happen. They're going to deceive you into saying that I am the Messiah. Now, I know people have said I'm the Christ, but you don't see a whole lot of it, okay? But he says as you get closer to the time of the end, you're going to see more and more people say, I'm the Christ. And here's the proof. They will deceive many. Let that sink in a bit. They will deceive many. Now, I look around our world today, and I see deception all over the place. Okay? I see people looking at the truth. I mean, the science is out there. They look at the truth, and they say, no, that's not the truth. The truth is someplace else. We have many that are deceived just on the grounds of all the kind of stuff that's going on. There's so much information out there. Who knows what's true unless you're looking at the truth that God has given us. And he says, so many will be deceived and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Don't we hear that today? Wars and threats of wars. And people will say to me, yeah, we've heard about that stuff for years, during all of mankind, that's been what's going on. Absolutely. One sign, a couple miles, another sign. Couple miles, another sign. Yeah, it's been there, hasn't it? All the time, a warning. A warning. When you see these things happen, understand, yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. And then he goes on, he says, and nations will go to war against nations. Yeah, that's happened, and it's becoming more intense. And kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. And we've had earthquakes all of our life, and we've had famines all the time that humanity has been on this earth. However, I will tell you this, that right now there are climatologists who are telling us right now that there are the potential for famines that we have never seen before that are occurring right now because of the mass swarms of locusts that are traveling across Africa and into Europe, because of the droughts and the climate changes that we're seeing going on in our world. He says, we are seeing the potential for famine more than we've ever seen it before. And we know that the earthquakes are increasing in intensity and the volcanic eruptions. And so we're seeing these things start to happen. But I would say to you, as Jesus says to you, these are only the beginnings of birth pangs. Now, ladies, you're the ones who we can talk to about this. So what is it like to have a child? What happens first? Now, I was there, but I didn't feel it, okay? Except when I got hit in the shoulder. Rub my back some more. No, she never hit me. Never did. But there was always this intensity. Yeah, there's one coming on right now, okay? But they were mild. And then they got more intense. As they started off, they're mild, and they get more intense and more intense and more intense, and to the point where you're saying, man, I don't want, just get this baby out of here, okay? These are mild birth pangs. And you think, well, mild? Yeah, that's what Jesus says. He says, there are more to come because there's a time of tribulation coming. And that's where we're at in verse 9, I believe. He says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. Now, who's the you? They'll deliver you. Who's he talking to? Jewish disciples. That's who he's talking to. He's saying, you, You guys are the ones he's going to come after, the Jewish disciples, and anybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You will be handed over by all nations for my name's sake. All nations will hate the Jewish believer, and really, in many respects, the Jewish people. And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Here it is again, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, because lawlessness will increase and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. So let's just follow this through a little bit. Let's just go back one verse. He says they will deliver you up. This is a Jewish persecution. And if you think about it, think about our world today. Is anti-Semitism on the increase? Yes. More and more in our country we're seeing it. We used to be standing for Israel. Today we don't necessarily stand for Israel. Not as a nation, not as a government. We say we do, but do we help them? No. And do we allow people to speak against them? It used to be you couldn't do that. You know, that's called racism. And we call everything else racism, but that's not racism anymore. So anti-Semitism is on the rise. It's the hatred of the Jewish people. And by the way, the hatred of the Christian people is on the rise also in our world. You will be hated by all nations. That's including the United States of America. And you'll be hated because of your name that you bear, Jesus' name. And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Why is that? Because when persecution comes, if you're a professing believer or you are a real believer, okay, those who profess it but don't really have it, they're going to drop away and they're going to betray the one that they've gone to church with their entire life. They're going to betray him because it's going to be a push. Do this or you die. Well, I'm not dying for this stuff. Yeah, you can have their name. They're going to betray one another and they're going to hate one another because many false prophets will have already arisen. They will have betrayed them. And understand, remember, where we're talking about after the rapture and in the tribulation period. Not you guys. Okay? People of that time. Jewish believers, you say, well, if the rapture's occurred, aren't all the believers gone? Yeah, they are. However, if you had heard a message like this, and think about the number of videos that are out on YouTube right now, okay, about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay, and when everybody leaves this earth, when all the Christians leave this earth, what do you think is going to happen to the people who are left? They're going to want to know what just happened. And they're not going to want to take the word of just anybody. They're going to want to go back. And they're going to be looking at stuff. The gospel will be heard. And people are going to come to Christ in droves at the beginning of the tribulation period, I believe. But they're going to cost them everything. Because it says there, the love of some will grow cold, and the one who endures to the end will be saved. In other words, what he's saying is, it's not a salvation, a spiritual salvation. It's an actual physical salvation. If you get to the end of the tribulation as a believer in Christ, it will be because you have endured to the end. And you now will go from the tribulation into the millennial kingdom as a physical human being, just like us. And you will go in, you'll be one of the people that Jesus rules, reigns over. You'll be part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. Notice it's the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel that we hear. But the gospel of the kingdom, what was the gospel of the kingdom? We've seen it all the way through Matthew. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what's going to be proclaimed throughout the world. The kingdom is at hand. This isn't the tribulation period. The kingdom is just about here. The king is coming again. That's the gospel that's going to be proclaimed. And people will turn to Jesus or they will turn away from Jesus just like we do. Toward him or away from him. And that testimony will be given through all the nations, and then when all have heard, the end will come. Now, can I put a plug in for Saturate USA? The church's job is to proclaim the gospel to every living person. We have a town that we need to let know about, not our church. It's not the point. It's not the point of the church. It's the point that Jesus Christ's name will be lifted up. This is an opportunity for every person in this church to participate in evangelism of this community. Okay? That's what it is. Some of you have the gift of gab. Okay? And it's going to be easy for you to go out and talk with somebody. And some of you, it freaks you out to think about that. Doesn't it? It just freaks you out. Well, understand this. You just have to hang it on the doorknob. I understand what Kurt said. He said, if they're in the backyard, go give it to them. Kurt's an evangelist. He's got the gift of gab. He knows how to do this stuff, okay? That's why he says it's easy. Okay, some of us saying, no, it's not so easy. So I would say to you, like me, I can hang it on the doorknob, okay? Or if you can't walk, come in and pray. Or come in and put stuff in the folders. But everybody is participating because there's all different kinds of jobs that have to be done. And the reason, because the gospel of the kingdom that we've been given, which is the Great Commission, is to go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of Hampton, Iowa. That's our job. That's why you were left here, okay? So don't just say, oh, that's just something they do at the church. I don't have to be part of that. I want to encourage you. All of us need to be part of this. Because if you see, if you take this 200 people that are in this room right here and you spread them out across this community, you know how fast we could cover this town? In about 5 hours, we easily could cover the entire town. This one church. So let's do that. That's a plug on the side, okay? This is a part of what's coming. And then he goes in and he says, here's a serious warning for you. So if you're in the tribulation period, and the tribulation would begin when the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with Israel. I mean, it's a serious treaty. It's a treaty with Israel and the entire world. There'll be no more wars. No more wars for 3.5 years. And then comes this point here. It says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. He says, reader, go back to Daniel. So I'll take you back to Daniel. Daniel 9:27, this is what it says. The ruler, that is Antichrist, will make a treaty with the people of Israel, for a period of one set of sevens, in other words, 7 years. But after half this time, 3.5 years, he will put an end to the sacrifice and the offerings. That's the Jewish sacrifice and offerings. Okay, he puts an end to it. And as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until the fate decreed for this defiler is finally poured out upon him. What's that saying? It's saying that at 3.5 years, this Antichrist is going to go into the temple in Jerusalem. He's going to kick out all of the things that are there, all that are gods, and he's going to set up an image of himself in that temple and declare that he is God and everybody's to worship him. And you know what that's going to do to the Jewish people? They're going to go crazy. You can't do that. Because when you do that, you just desecrate the temple and you cause it to not be able to be used for any other purpose than that. Not to worship God. Now you're worshiping this thing. And the temple is unholy at this point. It's unholy. This happens at the middle of that tribulation period. Remember that 7-year period that we saw. Okay? And then he goes on. And he says, this is what you need to do when you see this. Now, we are not in this. Remember, this is the Jewish people, and they will know that it's in the scriptures. Jesus told them this. They know it's here, okay? Don't believe they don't know it. Notice what it says, that beginning with verse 16. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills, and a person out on the deck of the roof must not go into the house to get his pack. A person out in the field must not return to get a coat. What? What he's saying is, if you see this happen, don't even bother putting a pack together. Run. Get out of Jerusalem. Move someplace. Find someplace safe, because it's going to be a terrible time. And then notice what he says. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight, your running away, will not be in winter or on Sabbath, for there will be greater anguish than at any other time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. In fact, unless the time of calamity is shortened, not a single person would survive. This is going to be the most devastating, destructive time in human history. 3.5 years of it. He says, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. For the sake of those who are believers in Christ during this time, it will be shortened. It will be stopped. Then if anyone tells you, look, for there's the Messiah over there, go down to the bandshell today and you'll see the Messiah. Here he is, don't believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's own chosen ones. They will be empowered by Satan, and they will be able to do things that you say, I can't believe that. Now, if you've watched anything on YouTube, you go out and watch some magic acts on YouTube. There's some guys out there that are pretty good, okay? But there's some magic out there today that is empowered by Satan. It's impossible for it to happen except by Satan's power behind the person who's doing it. And you're going to look at it and you're going to say, wow, that is unbelievable. And you're going to want to know more about that. And they're going to tell you how you can know more about it. But it's strictly deception and lies. That's what's happening at this time. So if someone tells you, look at this, it's Messiah out in the desert, and don't bother to go look, or look, he's hiding here, don't believe it, for as the lightning flashes to the east and shines to the west, so we will be with the Son of Man. Have you ever seen lightning flash from the east to the west? What does lightning do? It goes down and up, doesn't it? It may flash between clouds, but it's not going from the east to the west. What's he saying here? It is going to be so... Jesus' coming is not going to be a secret. It's going to be like lightning going from the east to the west. Now, where is Jesus going to land when he comes? Mount of Olives. Exactly right. He's going to come down on that place on the Mount of Olives. That's in the east from here. And so it's going to flash from the east to the west. We're going to know that it's happening. It's not going to be a secret. And he says, as you see vultures circling above a carcass, so you know the days of the end are near. It's going to be evident. There's not going to be a question in your mind for those who understand. Now, he finishes this particular passage and he says this, immediately after the anguish of those days. So this is at the end of that 7.5 years, toward the end of it. The sun will be darkened. And the moon will give no light. The stars will fall from the skies, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then at last the sign of the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. Now, I don't know what the sign in the heavens, because it doesn't tell us what it is. But it does tell us that the sun will be dark, and the moon will give no light, and the stars will fall from the skies. I don't understand what all that means, but it sounds to me a lot like nuclear destruction. That's what it sounds like. Sounds like fallout across the entire globe, and everything above us is in this hue, this cast of darkness because of the ash and because of all the clouds and all the stuff that's going on. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know that that's the case of what it is, but he's saying this is what it's going to be like. Now, if you walked outside right now and you saw that the sun was at half light, I mean, it was dark outside in the middle of the day, only it didn't get brighter. It wasn't an eclipse. And you came out at night and you saw like a meteor shower just all over the place coming down. You were saying, man, this is something's wrong here. Or the moon didn't shine that night. Wouldn't you say something was up? That's what he's saying. He's saying, when the Son of Man occurs, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen before that. And then he says, and there will be deep mourning among all the people of the earth. Deep mourning. Why are they mourning? Because they're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're going to see Jesus. And all of a sudden, they're going to recognize, oops, I made the wrong choice. Only the choice has been made. The Son of Man will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of the trumpet, and they will gather together the chosen ones from all over the earth. All those believers who made it to this point, who are still alive, because if you didn't have that, you probably got your head taken off or you died from starvation. But if you made it to the end, he calls all of his chosen ones out of the earth. They go out and they gather them all together, and from the farthest ends of the earth, he does this. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, get ready. Jesus is coming. A second time. That's what Matthew 24 and 25 is saying. He's coming. Now, there's a whole other chapter to go, and I'm looking at my time and I'm saying, holy Toledo, it's gone. I knew this was going to happen. So I give you a list. You can read it. I'll walk you through it. First of all, here's the lessons that we need to learn to get ready. First of all, in verses 32 to 35, we see a story where he talks about the fact that the timetable is God's timetable. 32 to 35. It says here, learn the lesson of the fig tree. When its buds come out and leaves begin to sprout, you know the summer is near. What's he saying? He said, when you see the signs, know that it's coming. So the timetable has already started because the fig tree is a sign for Israel. And when the leaves come out, it means that Israel has been reborn. It's come out again. When did that happen? That happened in 1947. Okay? So the timetable's already started. Second thing is, it's God's timetable. Verse 36 says, however, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father knows. The Father knows the timetable, okay? And it's already started. He started the clock already. And so we know that it's happening. In verses 37 to 44, we see that Jesus is going to return unexpectedly. People are not going to be aware of it. He says that when the Son of Man comes, it will be like in the days of Noah. And we often think, well, the days of Noah were wicked and evil. That's true, okay? But that's not the point he's making here. The point he's making here is that people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered the boat. They didn't realize what was going to happen until it happened. They were unaware that this was going to happen. The people who don't know Jesus are going to be just doing things as normal, okay? And all of a sudden, it's going to happen. He's going to return unexpectedly the second time. And when they see him, they're going to figure out that's wrong. So he says in verse 45 to 51, he tells a story about the sensible servant. So he says to them, if you were one of those who believe and you're a servant of mine, then you better be doing what I've asked you to do. If you're not doing what I ask you to do, then you are not alert and ready. So he says, get ready. Now, also in chapter 12, 25, we move into that passage. It says we're to be spiritually prepared, we're to serve the Lord faithfully, and that God will separate those who are believers from those who are non-believers ultimately in the end. Now, I'm going to let you read that, okay? That's the points of what he's saying to you on how to get ready. So my question is to myself was, so what are the takeaway truths? So if you haven't heard anything else this morning, okay, here's some things you can take away from this. This is principles we can drag out of this. We can pull from this text for those of us who live prior to the tribulation period. First of all, watch out for false teachers, wars, earthquakes, and famines. Watch them. Get online, find someplace where you can figure out what's happening, and watch what's going on, because when you watch it, you start to say, oh, I better live differently, because the rapture is going to come when you don't expect it either. Be aware of the intensity and frequency of the signs. Just as you drive to a construction zone, the same thing's going on here. They're going to increase in frequency and intensity. We've seen lawlessness in our country we never thought we'd ever see. An increase, intensity, and frequency. Use the warning signs to warn others. Great opportunity to talk to people about what's going on. Have you seen this going on? Yeah, have you ever thought about the fact that could mean that Christ is coming again? Oh, no, I don't believe that stuff. Or they may say, yeah, I never thought about that. Great opportunity to evangelize someone. Understand, it's like the times of Noah. The tribulation will be a terrible time to live through. So try your best to talk to people about it now so they don't have to go through it. Okay? The timetable has begun in God's design. Now, if you're interested in one of those timetables, I've made 10 of them. They're on the Welcome Center. Okay, if you want to see that timeline, it's out there. But the timetable has begun. It's God's design, and it's going to happen when he says it's going to happen. Jesus is coming again, and people will not miss it this time. They're not going to miss it. God is in control, and he will judge those who persecute you. So if you're persecuted for your faith, they're going to have to take it up with God. He's going to take care of them. And last thing is, be prepared, serve, and watch the warning signs. Now, I feel like I just ran a marathon through that. I felt like I was just moving through that just as fast as I could possibly go. What I want to encourage you to do is go home and read it. Read chapter 24 and 25 from the perspective of a Jewish believer who's going into the tribulation. And use it as a motivation to say to yourself, I need to participate in the evangelization, to evangelize the people around me, to tell the gospel to people around me. Whatever my role in the process is, I want to do that. So this should be motivation for the Christian today to say, you know what, Jesus is coming soon. I really believe that. You've heard me say it a dozen times, probably more than that. He's coming back in your lifetime, folks. He's coming back, and you will meet him face to face. And he's going to ask you the question, what have you done with what I gave you to do? What have you done with what I gave you to do? You know, I don't want you going up to him and having to say, you know what, I just didn't think it was important. You know, it's kind of like hitting that bump. You know, that one, it's a big bump. You hit it, and all of a sudden your front end feels like it's rolling right underneath the car. You know? It's not a little bump. This next time you see Jesus is not a little bitty bump. It is a wreck the car moment where you wake up and you say, oh my gosh, what have I done? Or, wow, I can't wait to see Jesus. I've done what he asked me to do. Father God, thank you for preparing us for the warning signs we've been given, for your work in our lives, for the fact that you didn't let us just walk into this season without knowing what's coming. Father, thank you for telling your disciples this. And because we're part of the church, we need to know it, but we don't walk through it, Father. But at the same time, we need to know it because those who are unbelievers will go into that time if they don't know you as their Savior. Lord, give us opportunities to share. Give us opportunities and people, faces to pray for. Father, would you move in our community with the Saturate USA? Would you move in our community to bring revival to the people who need to know you, who you've already called their names and they're just waiting for us, Lord? Would you just give us the capacity, give us the power to do what we think we can't do, but know that only you can do through us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless. Have a great week.